On Friday, more pop-up storms over the weekend. Richard DeWedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hey, welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. It's that time of year where I have to double check and make sure it actually is the day that I just said it was. It is a Wednesday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Hope you guys are ready to dive into some more sports talk today. Had a fun one yesterday talking Tuesday edition. Clint Lamb, we pocket watched early on in the show. Me and Chase were checking these pockets of these young men, man. They're doing quite well, and it's kind of fitting that QD had tagged us in this little video on X. I don't know if we'll play it on here or not. It's a couple minutes long. It's a skit of them kind of making fun of NIL athletes nowadays. Chase, I don't know if you saw that, but you know who Lou Young is? He does the skits. You know, it's funny. He actually played for the Panthers.
Yeah. I didn't play with him,
but he made one on the NIL YNs, which we'll just leave it as YNs. I'm sure Chase and why I know what that is. But anyway, he made a funny skit, man. He was driving around in like a Trackhawk, something like that, to the Under Armour camp. And maybe we'll play it during the timeout, probably not on the live radio. I'm not sure if I don't remember exactly how the video went, and I don't want to risk anything. We don't need anything sent in the mail over to Town Square or Tide. So we'll leave that there. Anyway, we got some stuff we'll dive into today. Definitely want to talk some Alabama football now that we're really closing in on things. I dropped that breakdown video yesterday on the secondary. We started with the cornerbacks. Now, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing, man. You guys got it. You guys, please, man, show us some love, because I'm not going to lie, man. That video, we will not have any proceeds, anything from that, man. You know, it's crazy. The first two, Chase, why? I'll be honest with you, man. I guess I did it the right way on the first two breakdowns. And there was no issues. Like, we used our all 22 tape, which I don't know why that's being copyrighted anyways. It's literally coach's film. Doesn't make sense to me. I have a theory, though, probably because it was a little bit more focused on, like, the end zone copies. We did the running game with the first video, the first one was defense, still focused. We did both angles, but had a lot of, you know, I guess clips from the end zone copy. And then the running game, same thing. That was pretty much the all end zone copy. Well, I dropped the cornerback part one yesterday. And when I tell you guys, I took so much time in getting this video put together, editing the video, doing all these things. Just for like 15 minutes later, me get the notification, like, someone has claimed, blah, blah, blah. And I was, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of defeated, man, because all the time and effort I put into it. So just so you guys know, that's like me doing that video completely free. We get nothing from that. So the good news is what we do get is some exposure, right? People see it. They enjoy it. I'm doing it for you guys. So just know, we're not making any money off the breakdown videos pretty much at this point. So if you don't mind, just drop us a like. Hit that subscribe button if you want more of that stuff. Probably have to be a little bit more, I guess, particular with how we do it. Unfortunately, I know it sucks. Listen, I get it. Not fun, but that's kind of part of it. But I think what I will do is maybe look into maybe Patreon is one of those things where I think people do a lot of stuff that typically you can't do on YouTube. Maybe we can do something there. I don't know. But if you guys enjoy the breakdown videos enough, let me know, because then we'll look at taking a different route. But that video is up. No issues there. So make sure you guys go check it out. Really good one. If you guys want to learn about the cornerback position, kind of how our cornerbacks, you know, play within this system, what makes them so elite. I had a lot of fun doing the breakdown, man. It really was fun. And we're not even done. The part two will be coming soon. Focusing on the safeties, Bray Hubbard, Keon Sab, and throw the Huskies in there as well. But I think it's a great way if you guys want to learn about positions, you know, schemes, technique, just really dive into X and O's. It feels like you're in a film room, which I love doing that stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy that and learn something from it as well. But like I said, man, show us some love, man. You can't make any money off of it, unfortunately. And you kind of are risking your content. Luckily, I think they're cool with it. There's no issue with our channel with this, but you don't want to do that too many times. So just show us some love on those videos. That being said, I definitely want to talk about something in a little bit regarding Alabama. I know we talked about it a little bit with Clinton yesterday, but I want to dive into it because it's pretty relative to me. That's Xavier Griffin. I know that article from Bama Online had come out. They talked to one of his trainers, compared him to a pretty popular guy around here, Chase White. I feel like we've all heard the name Will Anderson. Well, that's one way to compare somebody. I mean, that's putting some expectations on somebody for sure. Kind of want to talk about that and what that article really talked about in terms of Xavier Griffin and his progress, kind of where things see fit with him in this defense, especially even early on, a guy that people are already really excited about, but definitely thought there could be a little bit of a curve, right? Because he was similar to me. He showed up a little bit on the smaller side, which, again, he's a really good athlete. It makes sense, but everybody just figured, hey, he'll put on some weight. He'll be good in no time. But I don't think people expected the young man to be up to like 235 within, I don't know, like 3 months. I'm kind of curious. I would love to get him on the show soon. I'm sure he'd have no problem doing it. The problem is freshmen, I understand they don't always let freshmen talk to the media. We'll definitely see if we can do that. But we'd love to talk to him. And I just want to ask him, hey, how did you make it happen so quick? Because it took me like a year and a half to get to that point. I mean, I was chugging shakes every night in the dorm. I mean, I was putting in the work. He figured it out in 3 months. Dude's already like 235. It took me like a couple of years to get there. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see if we can talk to him. I have a feeling that might not be in the cards right now, but we'll see. I see why he's shaking his head no. You never know why. The worst they can say is no. You just gotta ask, man. You gotta ask. His mom listens to the show. Maybe she can kind of nudge Alex over there and say, hey, man, let him go on the Miller's Edge, talk some football. I ain't gonna ask nothing stupid. We just talk some football. We wanna go inside the mind of Alabama's one of their top recruits from last season, a guy who's expected to be a really good football player here. One of my favorites already. He hadn't even played a snap yet, but I just like what he's shown so far. That said, we'll dive into some football talk, a number of other topics we'll get into. I don't know if you guys are still keeping up with the World Cup. I feel like ever since the U.S. got knocked out, it kind of died down a little bit. Hopefully you guys are still have some interest in soccer. Great, great sport, or football, whatever you want to call it. But maybe we'll talk a little bit about that later. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. Pretty much open, no guests. I was going to text the Pastor Payne to see if he wanted to jump on. Been a minute since we heard from him. Feel like he can maybe come stir the pot a little bit, get the nest going, and maybe we'll get some good reactions from that. So if you guys want to chime in, 205-342-9904, of course, we always encourage you to join our streams at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, at The Miller's Edge on X, on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page, and all other platforms. Just find us, search us at The Miller's Edge. I'm sure we'll come up somewhere. And, of course, we got our website, too, Miller's Edge, themillersedge.com. I just got billed again for another year, so that website is up and running for you guys to go check it out for more information as well. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition right here on The Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. We're just getting started.
Lease a Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9000
for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Let's dive into some football talk here. I know you guys love that. So we'll just jump straight into it, man. We were talking a little bit yesterday with Clint Lamb about a number of different things. If you guys missed that, you can always go back and rewind the show from yesterday. But one thing we did talk to him about was Xavier Griffin. There is an article from Bama Online where I believe they spoke with one of his pass rush trainers or a guy that works with him in the offseason maybe. And he had a lot of high praise for Xavier Griffin, which, of course, I mean, no one's really shocked there. But it was some of his comments that really caught the attention of many people. For example, you know, he mentioned, I worked with Will Anderson when he was in high school a little bit. Speaking of that, funny story, man. Will was on a visit when he was in high school, and I was here, and they brought him to Innisfree, man. Somebody brought Will to Innisfree, and I just happened to be there. And so I forgot who it was. They're like, hey, man, we want you to meet this recruit, man. He's from Georgia, man. Great kid, man. He loves to fish. And because I'm sure you guys know this. If you guys don't know me, I wish I could spin the camera. I mean, in the Lamp of the Law studios, man, I got some deer mounts to my right. I mean, I've got a huge snapper that was like 40 inches that I got mounted. I got bass. I'm an outdoorsman. And that was my whole thing. Like when I was getting recruited here, like I was asking them, hey, where are the good lakes to fish? Where are the good fishing spots, right? They lied to me on that, I will say. Coach Saban wasn't a liar. He didn't lie to me. But the recruiting staff, they lied to me. They made it seem like there was all this great fishing in Tuscaloosa when I was getting recruited. It is terrible. So for all you people that were in the recruiting office, y'all are dead wrong. Because y'all told me a dream that I was going to be, I mean, just smacking all these bass when I got here and all this. Didn't happen. Now, shout out to all the folks that have, like, private farms and things that were, you know, very kind and opened their gates to a young man that just loved to be outdoor. Anyway, they knew Will was very similar to me in that aspect. So they were like, hey, we want you to meet this kid, man. He's just like you, man. He plays the same position. Anyway, that was my first time meeting Will. And what's funny was he was a lot smaller. Now I think about it and reading this article, he really was a lot smaller. In high school, he probably was only like, I don't know, maybe 215, 220 at the time. He was lean, but he really grew into that frame. And of course, I think we've seen what he looks like now. The recent picture from like OTAs or mini camp, whatever it was. I mean, I don't know what he's been eating this offseason, but he probably ate a little bit of that money they gave him because he got a whole hell of a lot of it. And he definitely looks a lot bigger. Anyway. The comment says, I worked with Will Anderson when he was in high school a little bit. They had the same body type with the frame and the length and the explosiveness. They both were very explosive. He's explosive and twitchy like Will. Mindset, I'm not going to say that's the same yet. Will was at Alabama for 3 years. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I've never met anybody with the mindset of Will Anderson. So don't be discouraged by reading that part. Because let me just tell you, Will is, he's built different. Will was crying one time before a game. And it wasn't because like he was like sad about anything. The dude was just so passionate. The dude was just like crying. I'm serious. Like no, I'm serious. Like, why is laughing? Like, no, like this dude is like, this is different, man. Like, you know, dudes cry during like the, like it's like the, what's the national anthem and stuff? Like, you get emotional. I'm pretty sure this is in the locker room. I just dropped my seat. That was weird. Somebody was telling me, no, this was like pregame. But like in the locker room, like he just was like crying because he was just so ready to like go hit somebody. Like that's how you can't teach that type. I don't know many dudes like that. Anyway, he's built different. And you're talking about a dude that just runs through people's faces and don't really care about anything else, himself or the other person. I mean, dude's just an animal. But it goes on to say, but body wise and explosiveness and twitchiness, I can see a lot of similarities. Now, I made this comment to Clint yesterday. I don't know if I loved it. Now that I read the whole quote, I can understand kind of where he's coming from. He's saying more like the body type, the explosiveness. There's a lot of similarities there. Personally, I don't love it initially when you just say that comparison because I look at kind of how Will plays. And I know, you know, he developed as he got here and they had him doing a different, you know, he was playing a different role than what X has done in high school, you know, playing off ball linebacker, then maybe flirting a little bit with the edge, right? But even then, I just view Xavier Griffin, and I haven't seen him nearly as much as I had seen Will, but his twitch is more so along the lines of like a guy that can really, you know, really really threaten you with speed off the edge, really have that shake and bake to him, like a guy that can really get it. Like Will, I'm not saying Will wasn't like that. Will was definitely very explosive, no doubt about that. But when I talk about twitch, you know, one thing I used to say, you know, to Will and about Will all the time was that, man, this dude, he's not even working a whole bunch of pass rush moves. You go back and watch Will in college, he really was just running straight through people, right? Which it was successful. I mean, you can't really blame him. He really liked speed to power, right? He just was bowling through people. Now, he would work the edge. He would work what we call like a scissors, right, where you know, two-hand swipe. That was the edge move he really liked. It was that or he was going like speed to power pretty much. But in terms of like twitch, like I think of guys, like I'll give you an example, like in the NFL, like to me, man, quick twitch, I'm thinking like Micah Parsons, you see like the spin move that he can throw, right? I mean, he puts you like Brian Burns. I feel like who I played with, right? Brian will put you in a spin cycle. I feel like Xavier Griffin has a little bit more of that movement to him or that potential. Does that make sense? Will was more like he can definitely, he's like so explosive. He can beat you with speed on the edge and work the you know, work a scissors, but you're not going to see Will doing some of those moves that you might see like Brian do. That's not, they're not, their skill sets start to differ a little bit. I feel like X is a little bit more in that, hey, he can be more like Burns versus how Will plays. That's why I said the comparison from that standpoint is a little bit different. But in terms of explosiveness, somebody said Von Miller. Yeah, of course, you can throw Von Miller in there as well. I don't know about that. But twitchiness, yeah, you can throw Von Miller in that category as well. Guys that really just, it's almost like when you watch them rush, like go watch, Brian Burns is a great example because he's long, but he's very quick twitch. And the way he can set you up, man, it's almost like he's doing a crossover in basketball, right? That's not how Will rushes. Will rushes almost like a bigger rusher. Will reminds me of kind of almost how like the guy who he's working out a lot with, right? They have different body types, Myles Garrett, but if you go watch how Myles Garrett rushes or Max Crosby rushes, Max Crosby, I mean, he's twitchy, he's a bigger guy, but you see what I'm saying? Like there's just different styles of rushers. I feel like Will and Xavier Griffin are probably a little bit different in that aspect. But in terms of just the athletes that they are, I mean, I get where the guy's kind of going with that, which to be fair, he's worked with both of them since they're young. So, I mean, I respect what he's saying. It's just my personal opinion. Not that that really matters much. But a little bit of a comparison. This is interesting. Griffin was the highest rated defensive player in Alabama's 2026 class. He had 4 sacks his senior year out of Gainesville High School. Anderson was 6'3", 222 compared to, let's see, hold on. He was listed at 6'4", 235. Griffin's currently listed at 6'3", 222. But I think people are saying he's around 230 in that range at least. Goes on to say Griffin has changed a lot since he got to Alabama. That's one of the biggest things I noticed from spring break to when I saw him in May. He probably gained about 20 pounds of muscle. He went in skinny, but he might be in the 230s now. I haven't seen him in a while. I know he's a big boy, and I know he has a nice frame. He's going to carry that weight well, which I agree. I mean, he's from the clips that we've seen and just seeing during the spring. I mean, I think that weight is no issue for him to carry. Goes on to say, I think his future is very bright. Definitely a first round, top 15, top 10, that type of potential. That's what I feel. They talked about what they worked on, working on getting his hands better, being able to play off his hands, just really understanding his moves, when to use it, why to use it. He's very athletic, but he really played linebacker, off ball, linebacker a lot in high school, even when he got to Alabama at the beginning of spring ball. So that's really important because if you guys have listened to me, you know, talk football over the last couple of years, especially Alabama, that's one thing I wish we saw a little bit more out of those guys, right? Like Yonze is somebody that we've seen do a little bit more recently, like, but like just working more moves, hand uses, right? Hand combat is so important, right? We say beat the hands, beat the man. And like I said, there's different types of rushers. Some guys are more speed to power. Others really want to work speed off the edge. But one thing as a pass rusher, you can't be one dimensional, right? Just like a lot of other positions and other sports, you don't want to be one dimensional. You want to have your fastball. You got to have a counter. And a lot of times guys are so infatuated with their fastball that they don't work on their counter. That was something I had a problem with. I mean, I never really worked on my counter move until like my senior year. Finally got better. But hand usage, man, like it's so valuable of a tool to have when you pass rush. So seeing him working on that right now, I think it's going to be huge for his development as he continues maybe working more towards his time at Wolf or maybe off the edge. And this was an interesting quote, Jason. I'll hit this part, but then we'll hit this timeout. His trainer said, I'm pretty sure he's just with Coach Robinson now on the edge. I think not 100% certain. But that will be interesting. We'll talk about kind of what that might signal because, again, he came in playing off-ball linebacker at a high school, definitely was a little bit undersized. I'm sure, with his size when he first got here, they probably weren't expecting him to be playing so much on the edge. Of course, we all knew, like, even when he was getting recruited, they mentioned things like, hey, similar kind of vision to Jahad Campbell, guy who played off-ball linebacker, but then also got moved up and, rushed off the edge. But with him being on the lighter side, that probably was more so like, hey, that's probably where they saw him originally. Now that he's put on weight, and we've talked about it, like, of course you've got Yonza, of course you've got Justin Hill, you've got Zulu that you brought in from the portal, those guys playing that Wolf spot. You got to remember, though, I mean, knock on wood, I mean, injuries happen, right? That's not like a whole bunch of depth. And, of course, you got a number of guys that are playing that Bandit spot, which X would be a Wolf. Initially, I was thinking, hey, maybe just some third down rushes or just, third down packages, rush packages. I think he could, definitely see the field. But at the rate in which he's, getting bigger, he's getting stronger, I definitely could see him full-time playing Wolf. And I think a lot probably depends on the development of some of the other guys as well, really kind of where you need him. Because if he can excel at off-ball linebacker as well and you see that there's a void there, I know we got a lot of depth, but say he's just a better option at the position, probably should just leave him there, at least for now, and then maybe in the future look to move him full-time. But you do have a lot of depth. You got guys like QB Reese, Caden Jones. You got guys like Luke Metz, who Ruben came on our show and spoke very highly of. If those guys, and of course, Caleb Woodson via the transfer portal, if those guys end up playing the way you think they can play, I mean, there's probably not going to be as many opportunities there. So why not give them a lot more opportunities at Wolf, which, of course, you got some veterans there and some guys that are some heavy contributors. But like I said, the depth is a little bit less there. And you can rotate at that spot more, especially when it comes to pass rush. I think it makes sense, and I like it. I think with his skill set and his potential and everything his trainer was just talking about, I think he would flourish, honestly. And I think that's where he's going to make his money, if I'm being honest with you. Pass rushers make a lot of money, man, more than inside backers. So something to consider. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling, keep on talking about this and more right here on this Wednesday edition. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get in the conversation. We got to hit this timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
The kitchen counter.
Clorox disinfecting wipes kills 99.9% of germs without smelling like it. Clorox. Clean feels good. Use as directed.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th for a week of content from Tampa, Florida, live at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino in Choctaw, Mississippi.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and stream on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We're talking a little pass rush here. Chase, what do you know about pass rush, man? You ever had played any defense? I know you ran track. You played some football, though, right? Have you ever rushed off the edge? You played DB or something, Chase? Maybe they sent you on an edge pressure, on a blitz. You ever had to work your hands a little bit, get down and dirty?
So funny. Back, I would say, my middle school, in that area, I was always offense. Like, I'd do like jet sweeps. I just use my speed as like something to get separation, because I was never really the tallest. I was never really I could never really catch the ball. So I was like, look, just hand it to me and I'm gone. Like, no one's gonna try to catch me. So my head coach was like, look, we're gonna put you as a DB. We're gonna try you. And I was like, huh? I don't know anything about a DB. Like, what you talking about? And he kind of told me about it. And I never felt so much joy playing a DB. It was so much fun, like, just going against a wide receiver and coming off the edge, like, just going getting the quarterback or just jumping in the lanes. Like, it was so cool. So I wish that was something I did more of. So it's really cool when you talk about, like, the ins and outs of football, because, like, for someone like me that never even thought about even playing football, it's pretty cool. So I don't have much experience, but I enjoyed playing it when I did.
I didn't know if you ever had to, you know, rush off the edge a little bit or do a little something like that. But no, listen, I can talk about that all day, because that was pretty much, I don't know, what I did 24/7, man. And what's funny was, when I was younger, I used to like overanalyze everything, man. Still do. But when I was younger, so I was growing quick, right? When I got to high school, I was almost 6'2 when I was a freshman. And I remember only thing I wanted to do was play off ball linebacker, because that's what I played Pee Wee. And then in middle school, I played safety. My first year, I played like free safety. It was the weirdest thing, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. I wasn't a big fan of free safety, because it was like everything is on you. Like, you're the last line of defense. And so I was always like, man, I don't like this, because I'm like, it's just me, right? And I'm like, I got to take these angles, and if I miss it, that's, I give up the play, even though, you know, probably broke down on the front lines first. But my second year in middle school, I played off the edge. But I really always just wanted to play like middle linebacker. Like growing up, I like guys like different guys, but like Brian Urlacher. He was a tall middle linebacker. He was like one of my favorite players. Clay Matthews, who really was an outside backer, but he had versatility. Like I, for some reason, I had this thought that I was like, man, if I get too tall, I can't play stack backer. And so I was like, man, I don't want to get too tall. So I ended up being like 6'3" going into my sophomore year. And I broke my elbow my freshman year of high school, so I couldn't even play. And so I immediately go straight to varsity my sophomore year of high school. And they had me playing outside linebacker. And I was like, man, I guess it's not bad. I started getting more used to it. And, man, I say all this to say, I really just fell in love with pass rush. Before, I didn't really, like, care as much about it because I just wanted to play off the ball. But then once I started really getting into it, I'm like, man, like, I enjoyed this, bro. Like, pass rush is really, like, it's fun. And so that's pretty much, I got into it. And then I realized that's probably what is going to allow me to go play on the next level and do all that. And so, yeah, I just kind of stuck with it. But anyway, anytime I get a chance to talk about it, man, I could talk pass rush for days. And speaking of highlights, so I couldn't, I guess I'd have to go to Huddle or something to find my actual high school. These are my high school spring game highlights. Now, I'm wearing a red jersey right here. I don't remember exactly why I was wearing a red jersey. It just actually worked out well because it's easy to just point me out here. But speaking of spin or swim moves, that was it right there. I mean, I love that little pepper step and just hit a guy with a quick swim. And as you can see, it was effective. I mean, that was all I used to work. Now, I feel bad on this. I'm not going to lie, Chase. I was bullying my teammates, man. But I knew, like, listen, this is practice, and we were full go. And we would have scouts and stuff coming to practice, so I wasn't going to go easy on them. But now that I'm looking back on these clips, I'm like, man, like, I probably could have, like, I probably could have eased up a little bit. Like, I was I was really, like, going hard on these dudes, man.
Getting dudes on the ground.
I'm not going to lie. It was, and what's funny is people probably look at this and probably think I'm, like, so big. I was only 200 pounds here, man, which I'm not saying that's small. But, like, think about the recruits, especially all these other guys that you see nowadays. These kids are, like, 240 pounds. Like, bro, I was only 200 pounds right here. So I wasn't even, like, big, but with my pads and stuff, it made me look so much bigger. But I really was like, a really lean wide receiver build in high school. And shout out to Coach Cochran and Miss Amy. Finally started putting some weight on and got bigger. But, yeah, I was skinny. But I'll tell you, man, It's very weird because in high school, like my senior year, I guess it makes sense. You're supposed to get better every year. Like my senior year, I really felt like I had everything figured out and I just kind of just dominated, right? And I feel like it was very similar for me in college. Like by the time my senior year came, I finally put everything together and just felt so different of a player, you know what I mean? But I don't know. It was kind of cool going back. Well, I haven't seen this video in years. And what's wild is you look at this. This was posted, what, 14 years ago? I mean, just thinking about it, this is 14 years ago, man. 14 years, that's crazy, man. Crazy to think about. Anyway, I'll try to find the actual highlights, because I'm sure you guys might want to see that. Probably not. Who knows? It's a Wednesday edition. We're just hanging out, having fun, talking some pass rush. I guess taking a trip down memory lane. Now, listen, I'm not going to lie. Now, the full season highlights, Chase, it was something. I was a high school All-American. People might not know that now, but not just for the Under Armour game, but like Max Preps or AP, whatever it was. I had some clips now. I'm taking back down memory lane. It wasn't too bad, man. Anyway, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get on the conversation right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless
measures you'll endure for years to come.
Check out our collection of officially licensed Alabama jewelry in store or online at hudsonpool.com. And roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep that umbrella around. Sunshine's in the forecast, 87. Southwesterly breeze and a pop-up shower or storm possible. Late afternoon into this evening. Everything's gone by 10 o'clock tonight. Partly cloudy, cooling to 72. Thursday and Friday, blazing sunshine, hotter, low 90s. And a slight chance of an afternoon shower or storm. As we close out the week on Friday, more pop-up storms over the weekend. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WTBC. Chase, did you see that last clip, man? You see that last clip? What would you do if you had to meet me in the hole, if you had to meet me like that, Chase? What's going to happen? You going to chop block me
in and out or something to get you off my tail? I'm out of there.
Now, well, you wouldn't be pulling on a counter, so that wouldn't happen. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you said you play receiver, so maybe I don't know. Maybe I can meet you in the middle or something. I don't know. You might give me a little shake and bake. I mean, I don't know, man. Listen, I want to be clear. I'm not putting these on here to try to like show off or nothing. It's just I want you guys to see the difference and why sometimes when I watch like the highlight tapes that we have nowadays for these kids, I'm like, this is why I seem a little underwhelmed at times because I'm just like, man, either there's not as many football players as there once was or they're just not putting the right clips on there. Oh, I felt bad on this one. I blindsided this kid. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, yeah. That was messed up. Chase, is that wrong?
No comment.
Hey, well, listen. To be fair, though, that was before they had a bunch of targets. I don't even know if targeting was a rule back then. I really don't even remember. Was targeting big when you were playing, Chase? I don't really remember targeting being like, I'm sure there was such thing as unsportsmanlike, but was targeting like a, when did targeting come into play? Like even in college, targeting is newer, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Somebody chat GPT. I'm sure somebody will have the answer for that, but I don't think targeting was big. Cause I know back in the day, bro, blindsides were totally fine. Matter of fact, the first game I played in, we played against Wisconsin. Chase, I don't know if you were watching Alabama at this time. Chat probably remembers this. Our listeners on radio, they probably remember this. We played Wisconsin and it was in, was it Texas? I think it was down in Dallas, maybe. Whatever. Well, we opened up the season in 2015. We played Wisconsin. There's that, remember Derrick Henry broke that long touchdown up the middle. That was a big highlight. Then remember he like ran over their safety and the dude had got a concussion. Excuse me. And ended up walking into our huddle. He like went to the wrong huddle. That's how they knew the dude needed to be attended to. Anyway, that was the first game I played and that was my redshirt freshman year. And I just remember I was on punt return and some special teams. Blindside blocks were okay, Chase, because like the first play I was in there, man, we were running return to the right. We're creating that wall. And so you know that, me, that I'm sure, I don't know if you played special teams, but when you're making that wall, man, like the punt, punt return, they're going to hold up, then you get in your wall. And so you got this wall forming. And then if you play a punt, you already know you better keep your head on a swivel, especially when it's a wall return. Well, this poor dude wasn't paying attention. And he's running, Ryan. I can't remember who was our returner, maybe Kenyon Drake, or I forgot who it was, but he hits the sideline as it's carted out as I was supposed to be. And I'm just coming down on this wall, man. I just see this dude and he wasn't even, he just like the clip you just saw, had no clue I was coming. And when I tell you, I cleaned this dude's clock right, and it was right on our sideline. Oh my God, man. Whole sideline went crazy. So I'm saying this to say, I don't think targeting even like back in 2015 was a big thing, because there's no way I could, like, I'm talking about, there's a ref right there. I'm talking about, I killed this dude. No flag, no nothing. So definitely has changed a lot, man. The game has changed a lot. You think we ever get to a point, Chase, where football becomes just flag football down the road? I mean, I'm not trying to sound like negative here, but I don't know if you heard, but I think they did a study on the young man from Dallas that played defensive end. Unfortunately, I think he ended up being diagnosed like stage 1, the CTE stuff. But I mean, do you think that we get to a point where football is like, hey man, no more. I don't know if it's not necessarily just a flag, but do you think we get to a point where it's just totally different, where you hardly see any type of physical contact?
I think hell would have to freeze over. I think the amount of people that love to hit, and they're teaching so many techniques, they're updating and evolving so many technologies within the helmet and the shoulder pads and so many other equipment, and it's such a billion-dollar industry. I just feel like they're just going to come up with more and more ways of trying to innovate football or tackle football, because it's nice. Flag football is cool, but fans,
totally different.
Fans get a high. Like that blindside block we just watched and what you just described, people are like, hell yeah, like I want to see that again. So I don't think they're going to take that away anytime soon.
Oh, listen. Hey, oh, it's fun to give a blind side block. Can't do it anymore. It's a flag. And it's fun to watch somebody on your team give one. It is not fun being on the receiving end. I'll tell you that much. Because you know what? Karma did catch me, Chase. I think it might have been this season. It might have been my junior year, actually. I can't remember. But I did. I got caught with a blind side block. I mean, probably more than once. But one that I really remember. But it was in high school. And they were running a reverse. And so I'm on the edge. And so they run a reverse. So initially it starts out to defensive right. So I'm chasing it down. Guy comes back. So I'm changing direction. And so I'm just turning. And it's like, as soon as I put my foot in the ground and turn, somebody just met me in my square in my chest, Chase. Now, the good news is I was tall. I wasn't like big, remember, like 200 pounds, but I was bigger than the guy. I can't remember what position he played. I was probably more like, I don't know who it was, because it wasn't a lineman. maybe another receiver, a running back. I don't know. But I didn't fall. But when I tell you, man, he put his helmet and his pads in my chest, and I felt every bit of it, Chase. Man, I said, oh, heck no, man. I'm like, dude. I'm like, all right, I feel bad for the people I've done that to. But I ain't going to lie. I mean, back in the day, man, when there's no targeting. Why, I mean, why would you not do that? I don't know. I know our listeners, they used to play football. I know you guys remember. Back in the day, you could get away with a lot of stuff. I mean, like, they ain't really caught a whole bunch. But I guess to answer my own question, I will say I agree with you. I think financially, there's just too much money involved. Think about, like you said, I mean, it's not just like the NFL's profiting. I mean, the TV deals. Right. I mean, you're just talking about, I mean, football is literally America's most popular sport. I think it's a long, long, long shot till we get there. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep trying to. I don't know. I mean, they're coming up with new equipment. I mean, some of these new helmets are supposed to be better. I don't know how perfect they are, but I know like those Vices helmets, some of them look like motorcycle helmets, kind of weird looking, but. If they're protecting you, I mean, the padding that I'm sure you guys have seen the pictures now, the NFL and college use them. You put the protective wear over your helmet. Those are supposed to help. So, I don't think we get to that point, but can't deny it's kind of crazy thinking about this because this was when I was in high school, which it's long ago, but it's not that long ago. And just to think about, dang, like we were doing all this crap. Nowadays, if you even do something that looks remotely close, flag. You know what I mean? And they've even turned it to where you get two of them, you're out. You know, it's just a lot more protective, which is, you know, both a good and probably a little bit of a frustrating thing. We got to hit this top of the hour break. We come back, we keep on rolling right here on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Phone lines are open, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to jump in on any of this conversation or if there's something else you guys want to talk about, we can go there as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Chris Perfect.
Spain is on their way to New York. They are back in the World Cup final for the first time since 2010 when they won the title. They defeated France on Tuesday 2-0, their third consecutive victory over their European neighbors in the past 2 years. They await the winner of England and Argentina. That showdown coming on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. The MLB All-Star game on Tuesday night ended with a 4-0 victory for the American League. Cody Bellinger was named MVP of the game. He drove in 2 runs off of a bases-loaded single. The Athletic is reporting that the NBA's investigation into the LA Clippers has grown in scope. It is no longer just about salary cap circumvention with the aspiration deal, but now includes other improper expenses provided to Kawhi Leonard by the team, as well as a possible second unreported endorsement deal with a different company. The expanded investigation has caused delays into any ruling.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th for a week of content from Tampa, Florida, live at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino in Choctaw, Mississippi.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media? Media Tuscaloosa. Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
TBC. Chase, I feel kind of like an old head, man. I'm over here like pulling up my high school highlights and over here kind of like reminiscing. I feel kind of lame at this point. But listen, I don't think we've ever watched these before, man. I think it's the first time ever doing that. So I mean, hey, listen, we're still in the dog days of summer. We had time to do it. It kind of was fitting to what we were talking about. I don't know, but it is a good talking point though when you talk about. We're watching tape of these kids now. I mean, I think you guys can see the difference in what I'm talking about. Watch this tape and then go watch the guy that committed to, what was it? Ole Miss that everybody was like, you know, going crazy over, not going crazy, whatever. I forgot the kid's name. Anyway, you see why I kind of have the standards that I have. It's kind of is what it is. All right. 205-342-9904. We got Ragged up on the phone lines. Ragged, welcome in.
Man, you know what? A blessed day to you, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too. Likewise, brother. How's everything?
You know what? It's wonderful. You just brought up something that triggered a memory. I was in Dallas, Texas with a wonderful woman here, tied through and through, their whole family, the whole bit. The Wisconsin game you just spoke about, I remember watching this game, huge screen. We had everything going on. Wasn't that the year that we played Wisconsin, first game of the season?
Mm-hmm.
And they were ranked, and we played them, I guess it was on a neutral field.
Yep.
But we whooped their butts. I just remember this, and if you were on the defense on that team, I cannot visualize whatever you did to that poor kid. But yeah, just let's go down that way. That was the game that you were referencing, right?
Yeah, it was Alabama, Wisconsin opened things up. 2015, the year that we won the national championship. And
there it is there. Okay.
Yeah, that was that year. And it was in, I want to say Dallas. Yeah, it was in, excuse me.
It was.
Yeah, We did a neutral site game to open up the season. Similar to what we did in 2014, we opened up against, was it Virginia Tech or, no, West Virginia maybe? It's one of the, no, Virginia Tech was, I think, 13. It was West Virginia, I think, yeah, 2014. 2015 was Wisconsin, and 2016 was Southern Cal, that famous video where they're adding, like, dogs coming out of a tunnel, and then the final score is, like, 52-7 or something like that. So it was fun opening up the season like that. I'll be honest with you, because like it literally felt like you were opening up the season with like a bowl game, because we would go play in a neutral site, whether it was Atlanta or Dallas, and we would play a team that's, you know, out of conference. I actually really enjoyed that. Like as a player, that was a lot of fun opening up the season like that. And I wonder what it was like for fans from y'all's perspective. I mean, I wonder if a lot of fans looked forward to traveling to Atlanta or Dallas for the very first game of the year, or maybe they like it better being at home, maybe versus a smaller opponent. I wonder, like, from y'all's perspective, what you guys prefer.
You know what? Based on the history of me converting to a Crimson Tide fan, coming out of Southern California, you know, Trojan, and we seem to have a, from what I can recollect here, under Saban, because he was my first coach when I came out here in 2007, we did really good against the Division I top teams opening up the season. I don't ever remember us losing one of those.
No, I don't think so.
We kicked everybody's butts, and this is before you even got to the team.
No,
you know, and it's like, I'm like, you know, we're on a roll here.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this. I just remembered the greatest time I ever had was there in Dallas when we destroyed Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and I guess you were a part of it.
Yeah, just a little small part. I played a little special teams. Yeah, I was about to say just a little bit of a small part of it, but it definitely was always fun. Like I said, traveling to open things up. I just was curious, like just from like a fan's perspective, like would they prefer to have a game like that against a better opponent to start the season, but it's at a neutral site, but it's an exciting way to start the year? Or do they like just having that first week being right there in their home stadium? Because I know everybody's fired up for football season. And of course, if you're able to attend the games, why would you not want to be there in Bryant-Denny Stadium sooner rather than later? But, you know, typically when you open up the season, especially for a bigger program, it's normally a smaller opponent if it's a home game, typically. So I just was curious with that. But yeah, you decided to join the Alabama fan base at the right time, Ragged. You said 07. I mean, did you just happen to move here that year, or were you following Coach Saban in terms of like the supporting him? How'd that work?
No. It was an unfortunate circumstance which transported me over to Tuscaloosa here.
Okay.
And I don't want to go down that road.
Sure.
But there's so many things we can talk about as far as Coach Saban is concerned, and you know his comment about the biggest mistake he ever made was leaving LSU to go to the Miami Dolphins. Well, I actually understood what that all meant, because Nick Saban was a coach. It was all about coaching players, making them better. Okay? He gets to Miami, and unfortunately, he has Ricky Williams as a running back. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, in 2 years, when he left Miami, his quote was, "None of these boys want to be coached." And he came back. That was the mistake he was actually referring to, leaving LSU after winning a national championship. And fortunately for us, we got him. Because in 2 years, he turned this university around. After right. all of our years with said coaches. So.
Right.
And yeah. look what yeah. happened, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It definitely worked out great for him and Alabama, right? The town, the university, everybody involved. But, you know, going to coach in the NFL is a lot different than college. And I mean, I can speak on it, not that I've done that as a coach, but I had Matt Rhule, who came from Baylor as the head coach when I was with the Panthers. And, it, you know, there's just a different way that you have to go about that process. I mean, when you're coaching college kids, especially, you know, before NIL, you're talking about you're getting these guys from 17, 18, maybe 19 years old as young men. You're developing them both on and off the field. You're kind of establishing your culture and you can address them a certain way because, you know, they're young men, teenagers, and the dynamic is a lot different versus if you go to the NFL and you've got 28-year-olds, you know, 32-year-olds who have been all pros, guys that have played at the highest level for a number of years, and then now you come on board and you're a new coach. You're a new coach, and you know what I mean. The dynamic is a lot different. You're not going to talk to those guys the same. Matter of fact, I just saw a clip where somebody was joking around. I guess Junior Seau was down with. Did they mention Junior Seau maybe with Miami when Coach Saban was there? I didn't even realize that. That's just what they said in the clip, at least. And they were joking, basically saying that he just showed up to, like, you know, I guess it was OTAs or maybe minicamp, and he had just shoes on. He was just playing with, like, you know, with his kids or something. He just basically was doing everything but practice. And coach was trying to tell him to go put his cleats on. He was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to get anybody hurt. You know, it's just not, and just basically told him what he was going to do. That would never fly in college. So the dynamic's different, and you kind of have to go about it a certain way. Like, I'll be honest with you. You know, Matt Rhule coming in, he was trying to treat us almost like it was a college program. And, of course, the guys, they respected him. But you could just tell it was a very interesting dynamic because a lot of them were just kind of like, hey, man, like, you know, we've been here. You know, you've never coached the NFL before. We know what it takes, and you're coming in here talking to people a certain way. Just didn't jive with a lot of people. So I could see why there was a little bit of a disconnect maybe with Coach Saban when he took that job.
Quote was, these boys do not want to be coached. And yeah. thank the Lord we got him after two seasons from Miami. And 100%. You know what? The man, I'm telling you, this is what makes him the GOAT. Because he's been able to take all of you all. Look what we have produced. Yeah, we won a few, we lost a few. But you know what? What he has produced to the NFL lingers to this day. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the greatest. It's sad that he's gone, but I'm telling you, but that one Wisconsin game, I just wanted to give you kudos on that because that's the one I remember. And I actually am a fan that would like us to play somebody in the top 25 first game of the season, not some, you know, warm-up game. And according to this East Carolina game that's coming up, how do you feel about Coach DeBoer, the entire coaching staff, not acknowledging who is going to be the starting quarterback and let the world be surprised when we come out with a package that will blow everybody away?
That's an interesting question. Well, what we'll do is we'll answer that on the other side because we got to hit this timeout. But Ragged, we appreciate you leaving us with that cliffhanger right there, and always good to catch up with you, man.
You got it. Catch you guys later.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. We'll see you. All right, good deal. We'll answer that. Now, I think he was just saying if they don't do that, I don't think they said they don't plan on announcing who the starter will be. In fact, I think they want to name a starter before week one. But we'll give an answer on the other side right here on this Wednesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Powered by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are public 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
You build your foundation with gold. Text the word SHELTER to the number 989898. Text SHELTER to 989898.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep that umbrella around. Sunshine's in the forecast, 87. Southwesterly breeze and a pop-up shower or storm possible. Late afternoon into this evening, everything's gone by 10 o'clock tonight. Partly cloudy, cooling to 72. Thursday and Friday, blazing sunshine, hotter, low 90s, and a slight chance of an afternoon shower or storm. As we close out the week on Friday, more pop-up storms over the weekend. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
TBC. All right, we'll go back to the phone lines. We got Corey from Trustville up next. 205-342-9904 is the number. Corey, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I agree with the last call saying that I think Alabama needs to open up with a more tougher opponent. And I know when you played, that's really what y'all did mainly, and it got y'all ready for the season physically and mentally. And I just think it's more of a rewarding feeling. Wouldn't you agree when you go to the off season and you especially when you win the game that you get to prepare for a tough opponent?
Yeah, that's why I kind of threw that out there, because I know for me it always was just I don't know, it just added to the excitement of it. Like, no disrespect to some of these smaller schools, but like if we were to open up with, because, you know, we played smaller schools, whether it was like a ULM or, I mean, maybe we played Western Carolina one year, like Middle Tennessee. We played Mercer. I'm not saying I wouldn't be as excited for first game. I mean, everybody is excited for week one. But when you know, like, week one is, hey, we're taking a business trip. We're getting on that plane. We're flying to Atlanta. We're flying to Texas. And we're playing a team that we don't typically get to play. Like, I always thought it was a lot more exciting, and it made like I just feel like the intensity leading up to it felt a lot higher than maybe if we were to be playing Western Carolina, because we were Alabama, right? I'm just gonna be honest, if we were playing Western Carolina week one, we probably wouldn't have that same level of intensity going into the game. And I almost feel like that was part of the reason Coach Saban really preferred to open up the season like that. I mean, if I had to guess, because he knew when we played smaller schools, it's harder to kind of keep guys as engaged, it's harder to to get them to, you know what I mean, to really lock in, knowing that we're really just going to go and blow these small schools out. So I thought it was a benefit for us. But I was curious from like the fan perspective, like, because that would require you guys to travel, but you would then get to go to a, you know, a cool neutral site game, be with the fan base that you don't typically, I guess, you know, line up against, whether it's Southern Cal or Wisconsin. I was curious from that perspective.
I just think that, I mean, yeah, we as fans look at his wins, but I just think as a player, it's more of a, you get more out of it. I mean, right. Now, not every opponent y'all play was highly ranked, but like, I'm trying to remember who y'all played to open up the season, but I just feel like when you play a highly ranked opponent, first of all, it's a good resume build too, especially with the playoff now.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, believe you me, I know you don't want to lose your first game, but if you did lose that first game, it's not as damaging of a loss. But when you played at Alabama, how much pressure was there to win? Because I feel like I know there was always pressure to win at Alabama, but did you feel like, because you were always the hunted, did you feel like there was fire breathing down your back to win because Alabama was at its peak when you were there?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say it felt like there was some immense pressure that every single week we just were stressed out of our mind to win a football game. If we lost, the sky was falling. If anything, we were very confident. If I'm being honest with you, I mean, I tell people this all the time, at least for me, and I know probably majority of my teammates, I think they shared the same belief. We never expected to lose a game. Like, even if we were down in the game and it's like the third quarter, like, we didn't have some worry that, man, what if we lose? Or we're like, I'm telling you right now, we were trained to be so confident in what we're doing, who we are, that we wouldn't really even believe that we lost the game until like the clock actually hit zero. We could be down by two touchdowns. There could be 30 seconds on the clock. And we still would probably in our mind believe that we're going to some way win that football game. Cause we just had that much confidence and belief in not only ourselves, but our training, our preparation, our coaching. Like, I'm being serious when I say that. We never really expected to lose. So with that, I don't think we ever had like this. Like, I remember Will Anderson and that bunch, they talked about, you know, the pressure of feeling like they had to win against Tennessee. Like, I don't remember that for us personally. We kind of just expected to go out there and win every football game. And quite frankly, sometimes that actually kind of worked against us. I think sometimes we overlooked some games, like 2018, my senior year when we played Clemson National Championship. That's a great example of, I think we kind of just got so accustomed to showing up and dominating people that you kind of forget that, hey, you still have to go out there and do what you need to do. So, yeah, I don't think it ever really felt like that, believe it or not. But that's a good question because, I mean, you would think that would be the case because the standard was so high. I do know now when we would lose a game, Corey, like, say, in 2015, we lost to Ole Miss, there was a lot of noise, you know, from the outside, whether it's national, whether it's local, it's, hey, you know, because I don't know if you remember this, but every year people were writing articles basically saying, hey, is Alabama done? Is the dynasty over? You will lose one football game, and then it was everybody would be writing articles saying, oh, is the dynasty done? Alabama doesn't look the same. And then everything kind of falls back in line. We used to use that as motivation. It used to kind of pull us together and help kind of just get back on track and just realign. So
I know you hate to bring this up, but the way you lost your last game being humiliated like that, I know that always rings a sour taste in your mouth, but
no, but no, it's fine.
my thing is, I've just never seen Alabama get thrown around like that, and I just, going into that game as a fan, I knew it was going to be a tough matchup, but I just never would have thought I'd seen Alabama get bullied like that. But, and I knew what we were going up against, believe me. I knew what Trevor Lawrence was. He was a freshman quarterback, but he was still very good. Mm-hmm. But it was just wasn't Alabama's day, and I guess y'all just experienced that firsthand. And I guess when the shoe's on the other foot, when y'all been doing the same thing to other phones, I guess that's what it was.
No, I'll be honest. Really what it was we just didn't show up to play. I mean, we did not do what we needed to do. Like, I mean, they were the better team that day. There's no denying that. And I've talked about this before on the show. You know, I was a team captain that year. I mean, it's embarrassing as to say that, you know what I mean? And then you're like, hey, that was your last game. Granted, I couldn't play in the game. I had to sit there and watch because of my hamstring. I tried to get back. I was dressed out, but they didn't clear me to go out there and actually play. That said, it really was more so a lot of guys distracted, a lot of guys focused on the wrong things. We put a lot of time and energy and focus into beating Oklahoma and the Orange Bowl down in Miami. Guys kind of felt like we already arrived because, I mean, really, we were more focused on that game because it was like Kyler Murray just won the Heisman Trophy Award and everybody was just kind of looking at them as if, hey, this is, you know, this is a team to beat, really. And I wouldn't say we kind of we pretty much overlooked Clemson. And then when you go out and you play in California, there's a lot of distractions. And then back then, around that time of year was the popular time for agents they were lurking, man. Agents were lurking around the hotels. Agents were in the vicinity. Agents talking to guys, trying to get guys to agree that, hey, once that game was done, that was the final game. Dudes pretty much, if you knew you were moving on, even if you hadn't officially declared and all that, everything kind of opened up. And so they knew that. And so they had a lot of that crap going on. And, we did not show up to play right. But you got to tip your hat at Clemson. I mean, like you said, Trevor Lawrence was a true freshman that year, but he was a hell of a player. There's a reason he was a top NFL pick not long ago. And then you just look at, Justin Ross, I think he had a hell of a day. I think he was a 6 receptions for 153. There's a lot. I mean, if I go and break down that game, I could show you. I mean, our secondary, we played with bad eyes. We didn't get great pressure on the quarterback. We played a lot of uncharacteristic football that game. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, we did not have our heads in the right place. But you still got to tip your hat to Clemson. I mean, they also were a really good team. And I'm pretty sure they went undefeated that year as well. Yeah. I mean, granted, their path was a lot easier. But listen, they had a lot of good players, too. But no denying it. You know, it was a beatdown for us, an embarrassing loss, one of Coach Saban's worst losses. That he's had, and I just gotta look back on it and just learn from it, pretty much. Show up for every football game.
Did you consider Clemson a mini rivalry or not?
Oh, that's a good question. Run. Yeah, we viewed it like a rivalry. We did. We viewed it kind of like, because I remember we used to do. That's a really good question because it's bringing back a lot of memories. We used to do like each week when we play teams. I wouldn't say call it like we'd have themes, but like there would be like more to it. It wasn't just, hey, we're just only looking at X's and O's. Like when we were in the weight room, like Coach Cochran, like every time we break down our post or our lift at the end of it, Coach Cochran would kind of speak on like that week and say we were playing LSU. He'd talk about maybe the game from the year ago. We'd have the games playing on the TV. You know, he would give us a little speech or talk about things. And like Clemson almost became one of those. Even though they were out of our conference, we played them so much. There was so much history between the two of us that, you know, it started to feel like that. It almost felt like and I remember somebody, one of our coaches, I can't remember if it was Coach Saban or somebody, but they almost equated it to like one of those boxing trilogies, right? Like, I mean, you know, I don't know, like Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, 1, 2, and 3, right? Because we had so many. Played them in 2015 for a national championship. We played them in 2016 for a national championship. We played them in 2017 in the playoff to go to the national championship. We played them in 2018 for the national championship. So a lot of people kind of viewed it, including ourselves, almost like one of those like historic boxing heavyweight or just not historic boxing rivalries. That's what it honestly started to really turn itself into, which was It was good. It was good while it lasted. Now, you know, they're a little bit different of a program now, and I guess we are too. But yeah, it was a good little series while it lasted.
It's just unfortunate they got the final knockout punch. But
Corey, first we got humiliated. Then you get the final knockout blow, man. You're killing me today, Corey.
But you know what? You walked out with two national titles.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, I guess they did too. But no, you're right. They did get the final. They got the final blow. Was that the last time we've ever played Clemson? We haven't played them since, yeah. Right? That was the last time.
But because they won't hold up their end of the bargain, we can't play them.
There you go. Now we're talking. So really, okay. They might have got the last blow on me, but. We, Alabama, we have the last, I guess, blow because we've won since then. Remember, we won in 2020, went undefeated. I say we, I wasn't a part of that team, but Alabama did. Alabama's been back to the playoffs consistently, and they've been trying to find their footing a little bit. So, you know what, man? Hopefully they have a better year. Hopefully they have a better year because I wouldn't mind getting a rematch game on them. You just reminded me. I forgot about that whole deal. Maybe we can see them in the near future. I wouldn't mind that. But we better not show up like we did against Indiana. I promise to God, if we get the luxury of playing them, we better not let them. Now, I don't really take these games that serious. I'll be honest with you. I just don't let it affect me that much. That one, I might have a problem with.
If the SEC ever expands, would you want Clemson to join the SEC?
You know what? Probably so, because I want them to see what it's like to really live a real schedule. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be good. I mean, they're in the area. I know people have been talking about zoning and stuff like that, which I think that makes total sense. I mean, like, for example, my guy Jamie, right? He's the D-line coach at Stanford. They're in the ACC now. They're on the whole West Coast. So they got several games where they're traveling to the East Coast and back. That's a lot of travel, especially on college kids that have classes and stuff. But Clemson, they're right there in South Carolina, where I'm from, my home state. So they're in the vicinity. It's perfect to be in the SEC. They've had a quality program for years now. Yeah, you know what? I if we added two more teams, I wouldn't mind taking on. Man, okay, that I was going to say maybe Clemson and Florida State. I feel like those would be good. But of course, you got Miami now, and I feel like Miami they're kind of taking over a little bit in the ACC. So I guess maybe we'd have to add four. I don't know who that fourth one would be. Maybe Georgia Tech. I would say Clemson and Florida State, or maybe Miami. Florida State feels a little bit more fitting, though.
You have to remember, will the other teams agree to it from the ACC? Like, are they going to be willing to play each other? I mean,
no, they don't want that. They don't want that smoke. They got it made. I mean, they play within a conference right now that as long as they only lose one game, they're pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot, and their path is not very hard. You know, they come join the SEC, they're going to be playing Georgia, they're going to be playing Alabama, they're going to be playing Texas A&M, they're going to be playing LSU, they're going to be playing Auburn. They don't want to do that. They'd rather stick to NC State, Wake Forest, Duke. No offense. I just was talking to one of my friends that played at NC State, man. Shout out to Peter, man. My bad. But you get the point.
And speaking of conferences, I've never understood the conference realignment geography wise. I mean, why are Stanford and Cal in the ACC, and then UCLA in the Oregon and the Big Ten? I mean, it's money, yes, but geography. Like, say you're Maryland, you're flying East Coast, West Coast back to East Coast. And Stanford's flying all over. I mean, it doesn't make sense geographically, but money-wise, I get it. But if you look at the map of the conference, it's spread out everywhere. Some of these conferences. I mean, it used to be just in sections. It doesn't make sense. And for the love of God, have Notre Dame please join a conference, specifically the Big Ten, because it makes sense where they're at. I mean, and other sports are in the ACC, but they won't join the, and it's for money, I know, but it doesn't make sense why they, well, I mean, I know why, but why they won't join a conference.
Well, I think there's probably several reasons. I think part, I mean, their history is being independent, right? So, I mean, it is what it is. I heard Marcus Freeman talk about it. I think the guys from Bustin' with the Boys asked him straight up about joining the conference. And I think he said, listen, I mean, if that's something we ultimately have to do, and that's something that the people on the board, the administrative staff. I mean, if that's what they think, you know, he's good with whatever they think is best. But I mean, there's probably a lot of factors, or at least a number of factors they would consider. But right now, it seems like it works out for them. I mean, I guess you could argue maybe last year it kind of worked against them. Maybe being in a conference could have helped them. But, you know, it is what it is. I will say this, speaking on Notre Dame, conference or not, they've got some dudes on that football team, and they're recruiting their tails off right now. Matter of fact, I just saw a list of, like, current college players who's, you know, their fathers played in the National Football League. Notre Dame had, like, a quarter of the list. They've got, like, four or five, like, sons of NFL studs on their roster. Not saying that's going to make them a national title contender, but probably feel good about, you know, some of the bloodlines you got on your roster. I'm just like, man, they're doing something up there. So definitely think they're a team to watch. Hey, Corey, I appreciate the conversation. Really great questions, man. And very humbling, man. Very humbling, man. We got humiliated in against Clemson, and they got the final blow against us, man. I'm just messing with you. Corey, I always appreciate you. Great stuff as always, brother.
Good talk to you, Christian. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, man. Good stuff. No, that was fun, man. Great conversation. We got to hit the timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-89
a month. Give Adam Services a call at 205-339-6540 or visit us at adamsvcs.com. Your local expert.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th.
Normal and no taxes. Again, don't forget to save big this weekend at all three locations of Urban's. Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
to this Wednesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Chase, we're talking about rivalries. We're talking about Clemson, man. Corey really, he humbled us on that one, man. He said straight humiliated, man. They got the final blow. I'm like, dang, Corey. He gave me a final blow on that one. Nah, I'm just playing. But I was just talking with the chat about this. I'm just curious. Am I the only one, Chase, when it comes to, like, rivalries? Like, I don't take them, like, that serious. Meaning, like, of course, when I was playing, like, I respect the rivalry. I know, hey, this is Auburn. This is our rival. This means a lot, right? We got to turn up the heat. We got to turn up the intensity. But, like, I see, like, online, like, on X and stuff, like, I'll see, like, fans, like, anything with Auburn, like, they're attacking them. They're talking about, like, it's like literally every day of their life, if something Auburn related comes up, it's like their mission to make fun of them, to go at them. Am I the only person like that, Chase? Or does that make me less of a competitive person? Or cause I feel like you kind of seem like me. I don't know if I can see you getting that fired up over a rivalry. Like, were you ever like that?
I think when I was, like, little, like, when LSU and Alabama, like, they would go at it, like, every year. I think my family just hated Alabama. It's kind of fun. I'm covering Alabama, the irony in it. But I'm not that person either. Like, I love to watch it, you know, like, when players would put the flag in the middle of the field, like, that'd be pretty cool. But, like, I think the nastiness of it, like, it goes too far, you know, because it's just a football game. Like, I get, you know, the team up north and... You know, and I love to get schooled, so, you know, everybody just call in, but I just don't see why it just goes too far. Like, there are some people I've watched on Twitter, even like on interviews. Trees. Yeah, I learned about that when I came here. I was like, y'all poison what? Like, what are we doing? That's crazy. So, but yeah, I agree with you, Christian. Like, I don't think it makes you less than a competitor either. It's just you have a different view of it. You know, like, you still have that fire, and you still want to, you know, contribute, but no, I don't see where it's like it was in the Arbor. I'm like, oh, cool, you know, I'll just swipe past. People are like, I hate you, you know, the Hugh Freeze, and blah, 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 and I'm
it'll keep going. Right. See, on that's why I was just wondering, because I'm like, I know I'm competitive. I mean, clearly I wouldn't have made it to where I made it if I was not competitive. I get that part, but I'm just like, I've just never been, like, I don't know how to explain it. I just, like, even when we played them, like, it was, you know, we turned up that week. But then if I saw Auburn, like, here's an example. You know, Senior Bowl. You know, I couldn't play in it. I still was nursing my hamstring. I get down to the Senior Bowl. There's several Auburn players down there. But it was Trey linebacker. God, man. Is it Trey Williams? I can't remember his last name. My bad, bro. I think he's coaching now. But, man, he played at Auburn, and there was a couple others. It was like me, Isaiah Bugs, and like some other guy, another Auburn guy. They're cool people. We were all kicking it at the Senior Bowl. That's why, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it's different from like the player perspective, because like as players, like, no, during the game, like, we're going at it. You know, people were talking. People, it's chippy. Like, I mean, there's a clip, like, I know from a TV copy. I was watching the game back. Like, I'm like in the face of a lineman against Auburn, and like the TV's showing it, and it's looking like this big scene going on. It really was more so because of the play. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, hey, I hate this guy because he plays for Auburn. It's something happened that I was mad about. But that said, I get down to the Senior Bowl and stuff, and like, we're all kicking it. Like, it's like everybody's, it's all like, we understand each other. At the end of the day, it's a game. You know what I mean? We're going to try to kill each other when we're on the field together. Then outside of it, it's like, you know, I respect your game. You respect ours. We'll joke with each other a little bit. But I just, yeah, I just, I've never really, like, gotten it. Now, I will understand, like, if, you know, you're from the state of Alabama and, like, you're talking about bragging rights and, like, say you work, you're a teacher at a school, and for the rest of that year, I mean, you pretty much have to hear the nonsense from, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, the other teachers or people or the office. Maybe that's a little bit of a reason to be like, oh, hell. But I don't know. I guess what I was saying was, like, as much hate as people have for, like, the whole Auburn-Alabama thing, like, I haven't really, at least yet, knock on wood, run into, like, an Auburn fan that's just been obnoxious or really, like, has done anything for me to just be like, man, I hate these people, which, you know, guys just don't hate people. You get what I'm saying? In the sports sense.
I haven't had that experience. Have you, Chase? I mean, I know that you cover Alabama. Have you been in like a, at a game or a restaurant or somewhere where like you had a bad experience with maybe a rival fan or a, I guess a fan like maybe Auburn or we'll say, I'll throw Tennessee in there. I've heard bad stuff about Tennessee's fan base at the game. Nothing worse than when allegedly like a fan threw like a drink on. Is it Kerry Good? Right?
Who's that's correct. Yeah.
Now, if I saw that, now that's a little bit different. Now, you know what I'm saying? I'll defend some people. That's different. Now, that would, now we're talking something else. But I never had anything. I mean, have you, Chase, at all?
No, not really. I think some of my friends have had interferences with Tennessee fans. Like, that's always been the, like, if you want to fight, yeah, your Tennessee fan is where it's at. I don't see it from Georgia. LSU.
What about LSU?
It's just a drunk Cajun. Like, they just kind of. If it's in Baton Rouge, be careful. But I feel like I've seen it. I know in Tuscaloosa, when LSU came, was it last year or year prior? I had some of my family come up here, and they were nothing but nice. Alabama fans, really? LSU fans. Like, it was never like, don't walk this way or you can't come in this restaurant. Like, you know, they were very nice. But Tennessee, yeah, I saw a different type of, like, side-eyeing and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this for you, this final timeout real quick. You know, we do our show live at restaurants. I do pregame shows, postgame. So, I mean, like, and we'll have opposing fans, you know, come in. And I'll be honest with you, like, even during those rivalry weeks, like, we'd have people come into the restaurants while we're doing our show. Man, it's chill people. Heck, you know, laid back. I mean, nobody's really trolling. I don't know. Maybe I've been lucky, knock on wood. I say this now. Watch this year, Chase. Watch me say this. Watch this year. I'm walking from the stadium or something, and like some Auburn guy that does something completely ridiculous, and it changes my whole outlook on this. Watch. I'm probably setting myself. I probably shouldn't have spoken on this. I don't know. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. And we wrap things up on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12.
Grand reopening of the all-new Tuscaloosa Mazda. Get the grand reopening price. Plus, make no payments till spring. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Midway rides, nightly concerts, and the granddaddy of all field sports, Choctaw Stickball.
Visit ChoctawIndianFair.com and like us on Facebook.
Hope to see you there. Hachapisa Lajige.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
As possible, ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep that umbrella around. Sunshine's in the forecast, 87. Southwesterly breeze and a pop-up shower or storm possible. Late afternoon into this evening, everything's gone by 10 o'clock tonight. Partly cloudy, cooling to 72. Thursday and Friday, blazing sunshine, hotter, low 90s, and a slight chance of an afternoon shower or storm as we close out the week on Friday. More pop-up storms over the weekend. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be
And welcome back in as we close things out right here on this Wednesday edition. Big shout out to our friends over at Lampro, the Law Education and Advocacy. Make sure you guys check them out. Remember, for all your representation needs, criminal defense matters, of course, NIO, academic misconduct, and even on top of that, they've got the services for high school, college, and graduate students. That's subject matter mastery, exam and test taking preparation, academic and career planning. Let them take care of you guys or your kids in those positions. And remember, they have affordable rates for representation, for all that assistance. Go to their website, lamparello-law.com. That's a big thing, man. First class representation at affordable prices, man. lamparello-law.com, Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. We'll have Adam on the show tomorrow. Excited to talk to him about all the latest and all of our legal conversations that we've had here on the show. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Big thanks to Chase Behind the Glass, all of our listeners, Tide 100.9, YouTube, X, Facebook, all of our streaming platforms. We appreciate you guys. Go check out that film breakdown from the corner on the cornerbacks from yesterday on our YouTube channel at The Miller's Edge. And with that being said, we got to get out of here, and we'll see you guys tomorrow right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.